If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. I don't know that I've ever read these verses alone, not in their context, but this morning, this is where the message is coming from. We're going to begin reading in verse number 13 of Hebrews chapter 11. Everyone familiar with the Word of God knows that Hebrews chapter 11, it brings about what we call the hall of faith. People that believed God sometimes in very, very trying circumstances. In our Sunday school class this morning, we tried to let our teenagers know about people that rather than deny the Word of God, would rather be boiled in hot oil, would rather be burned at a stake. And the three Hebrew children, they did not know for sure if they'd come out of the furnace or not, but they knew this for sure. They weren't going to bow to that idol image. They love God. Boy, we need some people in this world that just will not bow to this world and the things of this world. That's what you have really in Hebrews chapter 11, is people that were faithful. And not only were they faithful, but they were full of faith. And I appreciate the Lord giving us this chapter. If you're able, stand in reverence to God's Word with me, please. We'll read verse 13, verse 14, verse 15, and verse 16. In verse 13, the Word of God said, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now," boy, I like those words, don't you? "They desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he hath prepared for them a city." If correctly read, that's verse 13 through verse 16 in Hebrews 11. Please be seated and pray with us and pray for us, please. Our Father, I'm very, very grateful for your mercy. Very grateful, Lord, for your grace. Grateful, Lord, to be back here with the precious people of Bible Way Baptist Church. And I'm thankful, our Lord, that, Lord, we have something to look forward to as the people of God. Lord, I pray now that you would help us to be a help to our people. Help us to be a help to that one, our Father, that does not yet know you. Lord, that they might consider their end. Consider, our Lord, that, Lord, life as we know it here will one day come to an end. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Lord, the only reason that the judgment of sin will pass over me and I will not have to face that is because Jesus was willing to do that for me at Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done, for what you're doing, for what you're going to do. We praise you in thy name. Amen and amen. I'd like to bring a message this morning that the Lord woke me up with yesterday morning. He did not wake me up with a text, but he woke me up with the thought. And he began to mull it over in my heart over and over as I laid there waking up early yesterday morning. And the thought is this: no place like home. No place like home. I'll remind you this morning that if you know Jesus, this world's not your home. But I want to make some comparisons this morning, as the Lord has put it in my heart, about this subject, no place like home. There's three phrases we're going to look at. I'll give them to you in a moment. But just introducing the message, I was coming up 26, and my wife was driving and letting me rest some on the way home. And I remember well the first vision of the mountains, coming up out of the flatland and seeing the mountains on the other side of Asheville. That told me something. I was getting close to home. Amen. We're about probably 5 hours into the journey at that time, and another hour and a half or so, we would be home. I just want to stop and say this morning. I don't know how many feels this in your spirit, but I believe we're closer home than we ever have been as the children of God. And we're fixing to understand there's no place like home. I do want to say this morning. I thank God I have a place on the earth that I can call home. A roof over my head, clothes on my back, shoes on my feet, food to eat in the cabinet and in the freezer and in the fridge. And now Miss Eve's been canning all summer long and putting up green beans and putting up corn and different things that we might have something to eat through the winter. But I thought about home, and I'm just trying to introduce the message, and we'll get into it. But as I come up through the mountains there, got a vision of the mountains, knew us getting close. As I think about home, number one, it was a place of contentment. The psalmist said, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. I'm glad, listen to me carefully. I enjoyed the trip, but I'm glad I don't have to take a trip. I've got a wonderful place called home. Say amen. And I enjoy home. I'm content at home. Not only is it a place of contentment, but it's a place of peace. In other words, I wasn't coming home to a racket. Amen. I'm glad. Listen, if you have a home that's a place of peace, you ought to jump straight up and down and thank God. Amen. That you have a marriage, that you have a home, that you have children and grandchildren, and your home is a place of peace. I'll tell you this, we have an enemy that like to destroy that. Amen. And then I thought about my home as a place of thankfulness. I'm thankful. Our home down here, well, actually, I could say our house was built in 1963. And beloved, you need to discover the difference between a house and a home. A house is made up of tubafores and shingles and brick and concrete and block and all of that, and wiring and plumbing. But listen, it takes Jesus to make a home. I'm telling you, beloved, when He is the hub, and listen, everything in that home revolves around Him, that makes a home, amen? When people get married, a lot of times there's an emphasis on the house, but I tell you, I believe the happy emphasis ought to be on the home. Amen, making sure the Lord is in the middle of that. And then in no place like home, I thank God for a place of rest. It was a place where I knew I could go back and rest. And sometimes, beloved, listen, you have to get home so you can rest. How many can relate to what I just said? Amen. I thank the Lord for that. I told Bob something last week that I think a lot of people have never learned. They think they have to rest from the work. It's a happy day when you learn to rest in the work. Amen. And you realize, listen, it's not my work, it's His work. I just get to be a little part of it, Brother Steve. Amen. And we can rest in the work. Now let's get into the scripture this morning. I want to call the message, No Place Like Home. I want to call your attention to three phrases. The first phrase is found in chapter 13. The Bible said these all died in faith. It's amazing to me, you ought to underline, died in faith in your Bible. Died in faith. Listen to me, it's amazing to me when you go to funerals. It doesn't matter if a person's lived godly or lived ungodly. It doesn't matter if a person's left the testimony or not left the testimony. Some way or another, you go to a funeral and everybody ends up in heaven. Can I tell you, that's not the way it is. Beloved, listen, if you want to go to this place called heaven, and you want to call heaven your home, You must be born again. You must be saved by the good grace of God. Amen. There must be an experience in your life where the sinner meets the Savior and business picks up in repentance and faith, and there's a regeneration that takes place. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, the people in Hebrews 11, I'm going to meet them one day after a while, but not because they were special, because He's special. And because He that's special made a way that every one of us, as different as we are, as different as they are, can come by the cross, be washed in the blood, and call heaven our home when we leave this world, because we have died in faith. Amen. Notice what the Word of God said here. Watch this. Not having received the promises. You say, Pastor, what do you mean not having received the promise? God gives us the promise in the Word of God. They hadn't materialized yet. That's what faith is. Faith is believing something's going to happen, though it hasn't happened yet. Amen? You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? Listen, the choir sang about it a while ago. There's coming a day. He's going to step out on the cloud. And we're going to go up to meet Him. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I have that promise in the Word of God, but I've not yet received that promise. Amen. It's faith that makes that promise real to the children of God. They died in faith, not having received the promise. But watch what they did do. They seen them afar off. Beloved, listen. Listen to me. Our journey as a Christian started as seeing something afar off. I don't know about you. I really don't. But I know this. I saw some things afar off the night I saved. I saw that a sinner was in trouble. It might not happen tonight. It might not happen tomorrow. But out there afar off, I saw where the sinner was headed. Amen. The sinner was me, and I was headed for hell. It was afar off. I didn't know how far off it was, but I saw it. But then the Spirit of God came by, and He made me a promise. If you'll call on the name of the Lord, I'll save you. If you'll come to Calvary, if you'll turn, if you're tired, you're tired of your guilt, tired of your shame, tired of the sin, you can be born again. And the Lord told me that night, there was a promise. It was afar off. But what did I do? I was able by faith to see. Though it was afar off, I was able to see that I was in trouble. I was able to see that He was the answer. That Christ is the one that had given His life for me. Watch this now. Not only was I able to see it, but I was persuaded of those promises. You see, Paul said it like this. There are people that do not believe that God uses men to persuade men. I think that's wrong. I think every one of you, beloved, that know there's a real heaven and know there's a real hell ought to be living our life trying to persuade men to turn from the damnation of hell and turn towards heaven and turn towards Jesus and turn towards home. Amen? Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I can't make a person get saved, but my life, my lips, my literature, all of me should be pointing people to Christ, not away from Him. We persuade men. Why? Because we were persuaded of the promises that God had laid out in front of us. And then the Word of God said, notice first they saw it, then they were persuaded of it, and then the Bible said, I can't get away from this. How many's got a Bible this morning? Just take your Bible and do this. They embraced it. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, there was a time in my life when I embraced the Word of God. Brother Steve, it went two ways. Not only did I embrace the Word of God, but the Word of God embraced me. Oh, I was wondering, Lord, what will happen if I leave that pew and I go down to that altar? Will I find the Lord waiting there to whoop up on me or reject me? No, I found an embrace and I've never gone over. Amen. February the 22nd, 1987, he took me up in his arms and said, I love you. I forgive you. I have mercy on you. And you are going to come to my home one day. After a while, there's no place like home. But listen, if you're going to go home, you're going to have to die in faith. You die in unbelief, beloved, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in trouble. You are going to have to die in faith. I don't care who preaches or what they preach at your funeral. If you die in faith, you're heaven bound with a hammer down. But I'm going to tell you this right now. If you die in unbelief, it won't matter what's said, how many good things are said. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. You say, well, preacher, everybody thinks I'm a Christian. You better forget about what everybody thinks. You better worry about what you know and what God knows. I'm telling you, beloved, the night I got saved, it shocked everybody except Jesus. It didn't shock him, amen, because I was sitting there never having admitted that I was a sinner in need of a Savior. I had taken up in my mind all of my life believing things like Christ died on the cross, there was a heaven, there was a hell, believing that he rose again the third day in my mind. But the Bible said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Say, Pastor, how do you know the difference? I'll tell you the difference. When you believe in your heart, it'll make a difference in your life. You can believe in your mind and keep living like hell, but if you ever trust Jesus from the heart, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. The first statement, they died in faith. Second statement that I want you to see, no place like home. They died in faith. The second statement is in verse number 14. The Word of God said they declared plainly. Let me tell you something right now. Listen to me. Don't matter what pastor thinks or what you think or anybody else thinks. This is what the Bible said. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. If Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before this sinful and adulterous generation, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father which is in heaven. I'm telling you, beloved, when a person gets on their way home, the Word of God said here, they declared plainly. It come out of their mouth. They wasn't ashamed, amen, that they knew God, God knew them, and that no longer were they headed for hell. Now they're headed for home. They're headed for heaven, amen. Watch what the Word of God said here. The Bible said, you say, what did they declare? First of all, the Bible said they were strangers. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I don't know about you, but the longer I live down here, the stranger it feels. I'm telling you the truth. Yeah. Beloved, listen. I never thought I would have to say what I'm about to say. But our school systems in America, they've been headed down the wrong road a long time. They're in a critical state right now. Listen to me. Listen, don't you take this the wrong way. But if I could, I'd sacrifice a lot of things to get my children out of that mess. Amen. If that's what they're teaching in that school, I'm telling you, my wife and I could have drove nicer cars, wore finer clothes, got along a lot better, and we invested in our children's education, and we don't regret it. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, I see my children invested in their children's education, and I know they will never regret it. I'm just telling you, be careful. Be grounded. Amen. Because you're going to go off and hear a lot of things that are contrary to the Word of God. We ought to be feeling like strangers and pilgrims. Just watch some of the PTA meetings that are going on. Parents standing up, some of them are mad. And they have a reason to be mad. And some of them are weeping and they have a reason to weep. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now I believe would settle it all. Listen, they take the tax money. Give it to mom and dad and let them decide where their kids go to school and see what happens. That would also help
these poor children in these inner cities that are trapped in a school system that's failing them. They're graduating. Most of them are not even graduating, and they can't even write their own essay in the ninth grade. They have to have a calculator or a cash register to figure out how much change they owe somebody if they hand you a dollar and the price was 98 cents. It's sad. Sad. It's sad. But the Word of God said we're strangers. That's what they confess. We're strangers. Oh, Brother Ralph, if I could sing, I'd light into that old song, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures, Brother Larry, are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The heavens beckon me through heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore." Hallelujah. God's people, there ought to be no place like home. Thank God for an earthly home, but thank Him double time for a heavenly home. These all died in faith. Then they declared plainly. What was it they declared? Number one, they're strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Number two, they seek a country. They're looking for something. Years ago, I didn't mean to tell this, but it's so funny. I was deceived. I used to hunt with a guy, his name was Steve. And he shot a deer. And we were on top of this big mountain. Now, Steve lived in the valley on the other side of this mountain. But he said, "You going to help me get this deer?" I said, "Sure." We're hunting together. And every time we got that deer up on top of a little hill, he said, "It's just over that next hill." See, he wouldn't take me over all them hills, Brother Garrett, one time, just over that next hill. Get up on top of that hill. Now, listen, I did that in 5 seconds. We're talking about 15 to 20 minutes from hill to hill. No, this ain't it. It's just over that next hill. He just bit it off a piece at a time. And I done went too far to turn back. Amen. Michael, you laughing at me or with me? One or the other, amen. Everybody needs a buddy like that, don't they, Michael? But I'm going to tell you what. Abraham lived that way. He'd say to Sarah, "Honey, this ain't it. But just over that next hill, that might be it." There may be somebody here this morning facing a mountain in your life. It may just be over that next mountain. But God, beloved, listen, you're going to meet Him and go to that place called home. Listen, we already know you don't have to be old to die. You don't have to be sick to die. Some of us are getting up in years, but I'm going to tell you something right now. The next person that leaves Bible Way Baptist Church may not be 60, 70, 80 years old. We don't know who's going. But wouldn't it be good to know where they went? Wouldn't it be good to know we could meet them again? Wouldn't it be good to know that they're home, amen, with the Lord Jesus? The Bible said to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Wouldn't it be good to know that we could meet them on the other side? They declared plainly, they seek a country. The Bible said here, not only did they seek a country, but I give you this. In verse number 15, truly, if they had been mindful of that country whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Brother Larry, this is what I wrote down the top of my Bible right there. They had it settled in their hearts. Yeah. We're headed towards home, brother. Yeah. There ain't nothing to go back to. There ain't nothing back there but a mess. Amen. They had it settled, Brother Steve. They might have had opportunity to turn around and go the other way. Oh, listen, that's my burden for our teenagers. Oh, they're headed in the right direction. Oh, please, don't turn around and go the other way. Don't turn around and go away from God. Just keep headed towards home. Amen. Just over that next hill. Just over that next hill. Now, I think about service to service here at the church. We're planning on having church at 6 o'clock tonight. Would to God, everybody, just make your way back to the house of God. But the truth of the matter is, there may not be no 6 o'clock tonight. We may be home before 6 o'clock tonight. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, we want to have it settled in our hearts that we're not going back that way. Listen, what He did for us, we ought to just keep going for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Just keep going. They didn't want to turn back. Then the last thing in the message, I didn't say now in closing, I said it was the last thing in the message. David, you laughing at me or with me? Okay, just so we know where we stand. Amen. Look at verse number 16. We've said so far the two phrases I had you underline: they died in faith. Number two, they declared plainly. But number three, they desire a better country. What's your desire? You know, I thought of the verse, Steve, when I looked at this. The Bible said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Can I tell you, the United States of America is a good country. I can't think of a place I'd rather live on the earth than the United States of America. I can't think of a place I'd rather live in the United States of America than right here in Northeast Tennessee. I love it here. Amen. I'm content. I love it here. Bob and Charity was telling me last week that in Statesville, North Carolina, if you don't have your foot off of the brake and on the gas when the light change, it's a definite you're going to get honked at. Amen. You know what that would make me want to do? Slow down a notch. I've got that much booger in me. Say amen. Amen. Brother Steve's with me anyway. Amen. Now you know where all that road rage comes from out there. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I love living here. But the Word of God said they desired. Can I tell you, the United States is a good country. But I'm headed to a better country. In the United States, people still get sick. Where I'm going, Brother Larry, there won't be nobody sick. In the United States, this weekend in Chicago, there'll probably be 30, 40 people shot. Maybe more than that shot, that many die. The gangs, they're shooting each other up. That's in this country. But in the country where I'm going, there's not going to be no hatred. There's not going to be any malice. Look, in the country where I'm going, there won't be any funeral services. There won't even be a misunderstanding in the country. What kind of a Christian would I be, Brother Gary, if I didn't desire a better country? Amen. The Word of God, these people in Hebrews chapter number 11, the Word of God said they desire a better country. I'm going to tell you something right now. Surely, 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 if you know Jesus, there's something down inside of you that desires a better country. A place where there's no pain. A place where there's no sorrow. A place where God wipes all the tears away from our eyes. The songwriter said, a place where all is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, what a glorious day that will be. No place like home. Let me give you this. They desired a better country. You say, Pastor, what made it better? Number one, it was a heavenly country. The Bible said now they desire a better country, which is a heavenly country. I believe, listen, what the Bible said. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I believe there is a heavenly country. Watch this now. Not only a heavenly country, we should desire it because of that, but what about our Heavenly Father? The Word of God said, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. Boy, you think about that. There's lots of times in my life I've been ashamed of myself. But He's not going to be ashamed to be called my God. And beloved, listen, I'm not going to be ashamed to call Him my God either. My Heavenly Father. You think about that for just a moment. What a blessing that is. And then I desire a better country, not only because it's a heavenly country and there will be a Heavenly Father. I'm thinking of the song years ago. The McCameys sang it. I don't know who wrote it. But the line in the song, the verse said, if heaven had no splendor for my eyes to see. Oh, thank God I got loved ones there. But if I had no loved ones, they're waiting for me. Still I would have a longing. And I still want to go. Because Jesus is there. And that's all I need to know. I like that. Amen. Listen, I'll promise you, He is going to be the center of attraction when we get home. Amen. The center of attraction. So we see a heavenly country, a heavenly Father. Then we see a heavenly people. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called, you look the word there, their God.
There's a heavenly people. It's a blessing, isn't it, to be a part of the family of God, to be a part of the heavenly people. And then I like this, for he hath prepared for them a city. There's also a heavenly city, the New Jerusalem. One day I was studying, I think I've told you this before. Everybody that knows me personally knows, one thing I'm not is a city slicker. Amen. I am not. I am a country boy. My wife and I were thumbing through the radio channels and trying to find us some good rock music to listen to coming home. You know that kind where my foot's on the rock, my name's on the roll, you know. My rock is Christ. That's the only good rock music I know. Amen. But we came across that country song that said a country boy can survive. I parked right there just a minute after he killed something with a knife and done something else. I said, I like him. Amen. Amen. He'd go bar hunting without a gun. Amen. But anyway, a country boy, that's what I would consider myself, a country boy. One day I studied in the Bible, and I found out the city's got gates, and the gates are not closed. We can go in and out. There's going to be a new heaven, do y'all know that? And a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. So according to this, in this one verse, Brother Steve, there's a heavenly country, and there's a heavenly city. God loves us all. Some of y'all are city slickers. God help you. But that's what you is. God made a place where you'll be happy. God made a place where I'll be happy. Amen. I appreciate the Lord. And I want to just say this, and I'm done. Nope. Miss Eve is here to correct me. Y'all get that after a while. I want to say this, and I'm finished. There's no place like home. If you don't believe that today, and you end up in heaven, I look for you to run to me and say, Pastor, you was right. There's no place like home. Mays Jackson, you ever hear him, Brother Taylor? Brother Mays? Brother Mays had a way, didn't he, of saying things. Brother Mays said, listen, he said a couple things. He said, one day he said, you're going to get up and you're going to open the newspaper. And he said, there in the obituary section, he said, it's going to say Mays Jackson died. He said, don't you believe a word of it? He said, I'll be more alive than I ever have been in my life. Another time they operated on him, he said, the doctor said, I died on the operating table. He said, that can't be true. He said, young'uns, if I ever cross that river, I ain't coming back. That's what he said. But Brother Bay said another thing. He said, I want to say this for all you dead-headed Baptists. He said, I'm going to wait on you just inside the gate. And he said, when you come through that gate and you kick your heels up, I ain't going to do it because I'm afraid something will go south. It's supposed to go north. He said, when you kick your heels up and you shout, glory! He said, I'm going to say, I told you that good all along, you wouldn't listen. There's no place like home. You say, Pastor, why do you want to see people saved? I want them to go home with me. My wife and I, down through the years, I don't say this boastfully, it's just our nature. If you've been around Miss Eve, you know her nature. We'd have missionaries, Brother Anthony, in our home. I mean a lot. Sometimes big families. And Miss Eve would cook for them, and we'd fellowship together. One day, Brother Steve, God called me to be a missionary with Rock of Ages for those 10 years. And my wife looked at me one day and said, honey, why is God so good to us? And I looked at my wife. I said, honey, you're just reaping what you've sown. I'll tell you something, beloved. Listen, we need to be good to one another because we're headed home. And there's no place like home. No place like home. Are you headed home or are you headed to hell? You say, Pastor, you just messed the whole thing up. There can only be one of two places. Either you're headed home as a child of God, or you're headed to hell, lost and undone, without God or His Son. You said, now, Pastor, you can't say that. The Bible said, he that believeth not is condemned already. We're not awaiting condemnation. I was already condemned till I come to Jesus. Come to Him this morning. Would you do that? Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your people. Thank You for the Holy Spirit. We pray the Holy Spirit of God would do His office work right now, Lord, in the hearts and lives of Your people. Help us, dear Jesus. Help us, we pray, to love others, to want to see them go home with us. I pray, Lord, this morning for the Christian that's perhaps been slack. I pray, God, that You'll renew that fervor, renew that fire in their life to serve God. Lord, this Hebrews 11 is full of people. Full of people that died in faith. But Lord, the reason they were able to die in faith is because they lived in faith. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Help us, our Lord, to get back to the book, back to the basics. Beggars telling others where we found bread. I'm glad I found bread at Calvary. Glad I found forgiveness, mercy at Calvary. Lord, we love You. Thank You for loving us. Our heads are bowed, our eyes